All right, we are there in Exodus chapter number 35. And of course, on Sunday mornings over the last several weeks, we have been going through a series called Happily Ever After. And it is a series on the Christian home. We've been learning about marriage, and we'll be learning about having children and raising children and the establishment of a Christian home. But this morning, we're going to take a break from that series, and that is because we are preparing for something very special next week. And of course, next week we are going to be receiving our annual vision offering, and as part of preparation for that, this morning I'm going to be speaking to you and preaching to you on the subject of our vision offering, and specifically, we're going to be looking at this passage here in Exodus 35. I'm going to be preaching a sermon entitled Principles from the First Special Offering in the Bible. You'll find that throughout the Bible, if you read the Bible cover to cover, you'll find that there are several special offerings that were taken throughout the Bible, and they serve as examples for us, and we are taking a special offering, and I'd like for us to learn some principles from this special offering in the Bible. But before we get started, let me just start off with a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is really for those of you that are maybe newer to our church or first-time guests. And the truth is that we really don't preach about money a lot around here at Verity Baptist Church. And for those of you that are part of our church, you know that's true. In fact, it's very rare that I preach sermons on finances, and to be honest with you, I'll give you my pattern. Every year, once a year, before our vision offering, I preach a sermon on giving every year. That's the sermon that's scheduled. Every 2 to 3 years in the fall, there'll be a sermon on tithing. That's the schedule that I've maintained for the last 11 years. And then we do deal with it whenever it comes across our path as we move our way through different Bible studies. You just happened to be here on the Sunday that was scheduled to preach about money, so maybe you're a millionaire and God wanted you here for a reason. I don't know. But we really don't talk a lot about money. And if you come to our church for weeks and weeks and weeks, it'll be a long time before you hear about money. I will say this. Recently, we've been going for the last, 8 months or so, we've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of 2 Corinthians. And on Wednesday night, the last couple of weeks, we've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, which actually deal with the Apostle Paul and his receiving of a special offering. And again, we're there because that's where we happen to land. The Lord orchestrated that for us, and you can take that up with the Apostle Paul in heaven, why he wrote 2 chapters on giving. But anyway, I don't apologize for preaching the Word of God, but I want you to know my philosophy and my disclaimer. When I preach on it, I preach with authority because it is the Word of God, but it's not something that we emphasize around here. Now, in Exodus chapter 35, just for you to get a little bit of the context, if you look there in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying." I want you to notice, and we're going to look at this special offering. And what's special about this special offering is that it's the first special offering. It's the first special offering we see in the Bible. Later on, we'll see David prepare for the house of the Lord. Here, they're preparing for the tabernacle and for the building of the tabernacle, which was the house of the Lord for the nation of Israel, until Solomon built the temple. Later on in the history of God's people, we have David lead a special offering as they prepare for the building of the temple. Solomon leads a special offering for the building of the temple. You have special offerings in the New Testament as well for certain things. And this is the first of these special offerings that we see in the Bible. And I want you to notice it that it was God's idea. Look down at verse 4 again, the last part of verse 4. "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying." It was God who told Moses to lead this special offering. Notice verse 5. He says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord." And then notice he lists the things that they were to bring: gold, silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And of course, they were taking this special offering for the building of the tabernacle, and they were bringing an offering unto the Lord. And what I'd like to do this morning is give you three thoughts or three lessons or three principles from this first offering in regards to giving, and specifically applying it to the fact that we're taking a special offering next week, and we'd like you to take this upcoming week to really think and prepare and pray and see what the Lord might have you to do. And I'd like us to learn from this passage. If you're taking notes, and I would encourage you to take notes on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some things. And let me give you three thoughts in regards to giving, some principles from the first special offering in the Bible. I'd like you to notice, first of all, that they had a great necessity for this offering. The reason that the offering is being taken is because there was a need. There was a necessity. They had to take the offering to meet a need. Now, there's several things that I'd like to point out in regards to this offering, and the first one is this. You'll notice as you look at this passage is that the offering is unto the Lord. Notice there in verse number 5, you'll notice that this is a theme in this passage. Exodus 35 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Take ye from among you an offering." I want you to notice these words, "unto the Lord." He says, "Take ye from among you an offering." Remember, we saw there earlier in the chapter that it was the Lord's idea. It is the Lord that commanded Moses to take this offering. And then the Lord has Moses tell the people, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it." Notice, "an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." Skip down to verse number 20, same chapter, Exodus 35 and verse 20. Notice what it says. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses." So Moses tells them, "Hey, we're going to be taking a special offering." He announces it beforehand, and then they depart from the presence of Moses, and they leave, and they have time to pray and to prepare, and that's what we're doing here today. I'm coming to you, and I'm preaching a sermon on the vision offering. I'm bringing this idea of the vision offering to you, and then we will depart from here today, and you will have time to think and prepare and be ready to bring an offering. Notice in verse 21. In verse 20, the Bible says they departed from the presence of Moses. In verse 21, it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought," I want you to notice the emphasis, "the Lord's offering." They brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all, notice this word, "his service." Whose service? The Lord's service. For the holy garments. Notice verse 22. "And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold," notice it again, "unto the Lord. Every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skin of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass," notice it again, "brought the Lord's offering." I want you to notice that in this passage there is an emphasis that they were to bring an offering, verse 5, "unto the Lord," an offering of the Lord, verse 5, an offering, it's called the Lord's offering. In verse 21, it is we are told that they offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. In verse 22, we're told there in verse number 24 that they brought the Lord's offering. And I want you to understand this. When we bring an offering to God, when you, if the Lord moves you to bring an offering for the vision offering next week, I don't want you to think, "Oh, we're bringing something for Verity Baptist Church," or "we're bringing something for the church people here," or dead sure don't think, "We're bringing something for Pastor Jimenez," or whatever. You know, anything you give to this church does not go to me. The church pays me to work here, but the church's money is the church's money, and that is separate from our money. My wife and I had people in the past say, "Oh, we gave so much money," and they talk about how they gave some donation to the church, and they're like, "We gave that to you guys," and it's like, no. If it says Verity Baptist Church, it goes to Verity Baptist Church. And I don't want you guys to think that way. That's how preachers end up in prison, all right? And I'm smart enough to not do that. I'm too claustrophobic to go to prison, so that'll keep me honest. But when you bring an offering to the vision offering next week, I want you to understand that it is an offering unto the Lord. What we are doing is we are presenting an offering unto the Lord. It is an offering of the Lord. It is the Lord's offering. It's an offering, we will be bringing the Lord's offering. Now, it is true, and I'd like you to keep your place there in Exodus 35. That'll be our text for this morning. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. It should be fairly easy to find. Malachi chapter number 3. And let me say this. On this earth, we bring our offering unto the Lord. It's the Lord's offering. We're giving to God. When you give to a church into an offering in this way, you're giving to God. But let me be clear, we give to God through the house of God. This is what the Bible teaches. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, I want you to notice. Now, please understand this. Malachi chapter 3 is a passage that's primarily used on the subject of tithing. I'm not preaching about tithing this morning. I'm preaching about a special free will offering, but the context is the same. Notice there in verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God?" He says, "Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Notice, he says, "In tithes and offerings." So I want you to notice that this passage is in regards to tithes and offerings. God expects both. You say, what's the difference? The difference is this. The tithe, he tells you how much to give. He gives you a percentage, and he tells you when to give it. The offerings, you have the choice of how much to give, and you have the choice of when to give it. But God expects both. He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." And again, I'm not preaching about tithing this morning. Notice verse 9, "You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." I want you to notice that word there, storehouse. The second part of that word says house. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat." The word meat means food. And the reference here is that there may be supplies or the things we need in, notice what God says, "mine house." So they were supposed to bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse, or God says, into mine house, into the house of God. He says, "Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So I want you to notice that when we give an offering unto the Lord, we do give it through the house of God, because you need to understand this. The work of God on this earth is done through the house of God. If you want to serve God, if you want to work for God, if you want to give to God, if you want to do anything in regards to God upon this earth, it is done through the house of God. Now, we know that in the time of Moses, the house of God was the tabernacle, and later Solomon built a temple, and the house of God was the temple. But today, the Bible says, and you don't have to turn here, I'll just read this for you, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, if you'd like to write down the reference, the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." We know today, as New Testament believers, we do not have a temple. We do not have a tabernacle. The Bible says that the house of God is the church of the living God. This church, this local assembly, is the house of God. This is the place where God's people meet and where we meet with God. So we understand that when we give unto the Lord, but we give through the house of God. And in the New Testament, the local church is the house of God, because the work of God is done through the house of God. People will often say, you know, "Well, I don't go to church, and I just serve God without church, or I do things for God without church." And that is not possible. Now, you can be saved without a church. Salvation is not held in a church. Salvation is held in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can be saved without a church, but you can't serve God. You can't work for God. You can't give to God. You can't do anything for God outside of a local church, because the work of God is done through the house of God. And it's always been that way. And the giving has always been done to the house of God. In fact, before the tabernacle, Jacob met with God in a cave, set up a stone, and said, "This is the house of God." And then God expected him to bring back a tithe to that same place. And again, I'm not preaching on tithing, but I want you to understand that the offerings, when we give, whether it's tithe or an offering, it's unto the Lord. And it's done through the house of God, through the local church, but it's not for the church. Now, it's used for the resourcing the house of God, that there may be meat in mine house, but it is a gift we bring to the Lord, and it's done through his house. Go back to Exodus 35. So we see that there was this great necessity. There was a need for a special offering. They had to build a tabernacle. These people had just came out of Egypt. If you remember, they were slaves in Egypt. They had came out of Egypt. And God wanted them to build a place where God could meet with them, a religious center where they could have their rituals and their religious actions done. And he wanted them to build this tabernacle. It needed, but they didn't have what was needed in order to be able to do it. There was a necessity for this offering. So Moses comes at the direction of God and says, we are going to take an offering unto the Lord. The offering is unto the Lord. But I want you to notice also that the offering is taken from among the people. Now notice it again. The people were the ones that supplied the need. You say, I don't know, Pastor, this is getting a little too direct. Well, here's the thing. I'm only going to preach on this between now and Wednesday night when we're done with 2 Corinthians is the last time I'll probably preach on finances for a long time. So if I'm going to hit it, I'm just going to hit it hard, all right? You okay with that? I promise I'll preach the Bible to you. Exodus, I thought that's why you came to church. Exodus 35, look at verse 5. Notice, take ye, notice these words, from among you. Where is the offering supposed to come from? From among you. See, it's unto the Lord, but it's from among the people. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Notice, let him bring it. Who brings it? Those that are from among you. Look at verse 21. And they came. Who came? Those that are from among you. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And notice, they brought. Who brought? Those that are from among you. They brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service, for all his service, and for the holy garments. Verse 22. And notice it again. They came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. And notice it. They brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all the jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Who gave the offering? Verse 23. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins, notice, brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And notice the emphasis. Every man with whom was found shit and wood in any work of the service brought it. Here we're told in verse 5, take ye from among you. We're told, let him bring it. We're told in verse 21, they came, they brought. We're told in verse 22, they came, they brought. We're told in verse 23, every man brought them. Everyone brought it. Everyone came. See, here's the thing. When it comes to this offering, you say, why would they take an offering? Here's why. Because there was a great necessity. It was an offering unto the Lord, but it was an offering from among the people. It was the people that supplied the need. You say, well, how did the people supply the need? Well, notice again there, verse 23. And every man, notice, with whom was found. See, it was the people that already had the blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins. It was the people who already had. Look at verse 24. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And notice, every man, notice it, with whom was found. It was people that already had the shittim wood for any work of the service. And those people brought it. See, the people supplied the need. How did they supply the need? They supplied the need from what God had already supplied to them. They brought what they already had, with whom it was found. You're there in Exodus. Go to Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 16. You got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Now you might say, well, these people came out of Egypt. They were slaves. Well, how did they have anything to be able to give? If you remember, right before they left, the Bible says that God allowed them to spoil the Egyptians. Remember, God paid them for all the work that they had done, and they were able to take from the Egyptians right as they were leaving Egypt. And these people, some of these people, it was whom was found. And the interesting thing is that God allowed them to take the spoil of Egypt, but God gave them that spoil, yes, so they could use it for themselves and for their families and all those things, but God already had a plan. He said, I'm going to give you the spoil, and I expect you to use some of it later on when I ask you for a special offering, because God knew that there was a great necessity. There was a need. There was a need for an offering to be given unto the Lord, and it was to be taken from the people. Deuteronomy 16, are you there? Look at verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17, the Bible says, every man, Deuteronomy 16, 17, every man shall give, don't miss this verse, this is a great verse, Deuteronomy 16, 17, every man shall give as he is able, notice, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. See, when it comes to this special offering, it is an offering unto the Lord, but I won't lie to you. It is an offering taken from among the people. It is an offering that God will supply. God will supply, and God already has supplied, because God's people are expected to supply the need from what God has already supplied to them, with whom it was found. With whom was found. Now you might say, well, Pastor Jimenez, why is it that we are taking this special offering? Why is it that we've been doing this for several years now? You can go back to Exodus 35. And it's for the same reason that Moses took a special offering. We have a great necessity. We have a great need. And look, I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to maybe be a little more transparent today than I normally am when it comes to finances, because I really don't like to talk about money a lot, and it's not something that we like to make a big deal about. But let me just help you out. Obviously, we have the work that's being done in the Philippines, and we've got the churches, and we're excited about that. And Brother Stuckey, our evangelist, is doing a wonderful job. He's recently started a third church. We have three churches there. We have another missionary there. And of course, we have the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And for those of you that don't know about the conference, or maybe you're newer to our church, this is a big event. We have people that come from literally all over the country and many parts of the world. And I think last year at our opening night for the Red Rock Preaching Conference, we had 564 people in church in attendance. Don't ask me how we fit them all in here. We didn't. We used the fellowship hall and all sorts of different things. And God has used those things. But here's the thing. The biggest thing we're raising money for, and the biggest thing we've been raising money for, is the down payment of a future building, to be able to get into a future building. And you say, why are you raising money for that? Here's why. Because we need it. Because this building's not going to serve our needs for much longer. I mean, we've got, I don't know, three or four big families out today due to sickness, and this auditorium's still full. And we got this auditorium. We add 1,000 feet. And as soon as we add 1,000 feet, we fill it. We add another 3,000 feet. As soon as we add 3,000 feet, we fill it. As soon as we took this wall out and expanded this way, it got full. And obviously, you have up and downs and attendances and those things. But we understand, look, this we've got about 2 years left on this lease. And I'm not saying that we'll be ready to purchase something in 2 years. But here's what I'm telling you. We are taking an offering because there's a necessity. There is a need. And if we're going to continue the work of God, and I'd like to just take a few moments and kind of explain some of these things to you. In, as far as we can tell right now, and we've already been in communication with certain banks and different things, as far as we can tell, what we're going to need in order to be able to purchase a building, a permanent building, and by the way, when we really started getting serious about purchasing a building is when we had a landlord turn on us, if you remember that. And over the last several weeks, we've seen that landlords have been turning on churches that are standing for the Word of God. And one of the reasons that we'd like to, if the Lord would allow us to be able to purchase a building, is so that we can have some security there, and knowing that there's no landlord that could turn on us at any moment. What we're told is that in order to purchase a building, we would need to have 20% of the purchase price to be able to put down as a down payment. In our area and in the area we're looking for, and the type of building that we would need, we are currently in a 12,000 square foot building. I would imagine that we if we're going to purchase a building, we need to purchase something that's obviously bigger than that, 15,000, 20,000 square feet, something along those lines. When we talk about a building, the type of building that we're looking for, we need to plan to purchase a building that will probably cost us no less than $3.5 million. That's what we're looking for. You say, why are you talking about this? It's the vision offering. I'm just telling you, you say, why are you having a special offering? Because we have a great necessity. Amen. Here's a necessity. Can I just get real practical with you and not try to spiritualize it for you? Here's a necessity. When it's time for us to purchase a building, we will probably need to purchase a building that costs at least, I'm using that wording because it may be more, $3.5 million, maybe $4 million or $5 million. What we need is to be able to put 20% of that down to be able to get into that building. What that means is that we would initially, our initial goal would be to raise $750,000. That's our initial goal, our first goal. Raise $750,000 to get us in the door to be able to do these things. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday night. And again, I don't go into this a lot. There's just no need to talk a lot about it, but we've got a lot of financial systems and things in place and budgeting. And there's one thing, if those of you that know me, other than, of course, the Word of God, if there's one thing that I enjoy learning about and helping people with is their finances, personal finances, business finances, all those things, as far as teaching principles in regards to that. And I want you to know that anything I've ever sat in an office and taught you is something we practice here at Verity Baptist Church. And we are very careful with our budgeting and saving money. And I will tell you this, at Verity Baptist Church, we live well below our means. Now, we still do ministry. We still have big days, we still have teen activities, we still have pizza and food and conferences and all those things. But even with doing all the things that we do around here, we still budget, we still save, we're still cautious. And every month at this church, there is a surplus of money that we could spend, that we're choosing not to spend, so that we could put it away for a future building. Why? Because we need to have $750,000 if we're just going to get to the point where these banks will actually start talking to us seriously. Now, I will tell you this. Since 2016, we have raised enough money to where we are 75% of the way there to our first goal. We're 75% there towards that first initial goal. We still have 25% to go. That has happened because of your generous giving and because, honestly, the budgeting that goes around in this place and making sure that we're not wasting money and spending money and constantly looking over and saying, for those of you that get offended at me whenever you have these ideas, and you say, Pastor, why don't you like to talk about money? Here's why I don't like to talk about money. Because every time I talk about money, somebody gets an idea about how we can spend money. Oh, I didn't know you had that much money, Pastor, because I've had this idea that we should do a mission trip to Disneyland. And I have to say, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not going to go there. No, we're not going to spend that money. No, that money's not been set aside for those things. That money's been set aside for a very specific purpose. It's a need that our church has, the purchasing of a building. And we are close to that first goal. Now, that first goal just gets us talking. That first goal just gets us in the room. We may need more than that, and we understand that, but the point that I'm making is we have a need. Can I just be honest with you? We have a need. And this year, I did something that I've never done before. I came to our church, and I've never done this in the past. Our church has always been a very generous church, but I challenged our church family, not only our church family, but also those that support our church financially, because there's so many people outside of our church who faithfully and regularly support our church financially through our social media outlets and all those things and online giving and all of that. And I challenged that group, our church family and those that support us, to raise $100,000 in this year's vision offering. Now, of course, you know, I'm always nervous to do that. You say, why? Because, you know, there's a very good possibility we won't reach that goal. And you say, well, Pastor, aren't you afraid that we won't reach that goal? Well, here's the thing. Here's what I know. If we don't reach that goal, it won't be because God wasn't able to. It'll be because we were not willing to be used of God. Because here's what I know. That the offerings that we take are to be given unto the Lord, but they are to be received. They are to be taken from among the people. See, when I get on my knees and I ask the Lord to help us raise $100,000 to be able to get us closer to the purchase of a building, and I ask God to answer that prayer, God says, and I know this, that He's already answered that prayer. The $100,000 that we need raised this year have already been given to us by God. You say, where is it? It's in your bank account. It's in your wallet. It's in your purse, because the offering is to be taken from the Lord. And here's what I know, that if every man shall give as he is able to, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee, we'll be fine. Amen. See, the offering is a necessity. It's something that we need to do. It's something that we need to save for. It's something that we need to accomplish because it's an offering unto the Lord, but it is only going to happen from among this people. If this is going to happen by God's grace, we need to make it happen. There's a saying that says, if it's to be, it's up to me. And I would add to that, by God's help, by God's grace. But can I just be very transparent with you? They're not going to give us a building. They're not going to give it away. If our church is going to continue to grow and do the things that that God has called us to do, there's a necessity. There was a necessity. God said, hey, Moses, I need you to take an offering. Why? Because there's a necessity. There's a tabernacle that I want built, and I want you to take an offering unto the Lord from among the people. So I want you to notice, first of all, that they had a great necessity for this offering. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, go back to Exodus chapter 35. We're looking at these principles from the first special offering in the Bible. Not only did they have a great necessity for the offering, but I want you to notice, secondly, that they gave willingly to the offering. Notice again in these verses, we've been reading them over and over and highlighting different things in them, but I want you to notice the emphasis. Look at verse 5 again. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Notice these words. Whosoever is of a, notice it, willing heart. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Look at verse 21. And they came. Everyone whose, notice the emphasis, heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit, notice these words, made willing. Look at verse 22. And they came, both men and women. Notice, as many as were willing hearted. Look at verse 29. The children of Israel brought, notice the words, a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman, notice, whose heart made them willing. You'll find an emphasis in this passage. And by the way, you'll find an emphasis on every passage in the Bible that has to do with a special offering. It is always emphasized that the people that gave were willing, wanted to, had a desire to. Keep your place there in Exodus 35. Go with me, if you would, to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 9 this coming Wednesday, so I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I just want to show you this one verse. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You say, what are you looking for in regards to people giving for the vision offering? I'll be very honest with you. Here's what I'm looking for. We are looking for willing hearts. We are looking for people who want to volunteer. We are looking for willing hearts, willing people, people that are willing hearted, willing to give an offering unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. The Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Notice again the emphasis. As he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Notice, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it, and I'll say it every year. Before I was in the ministry, I worked at a company where the owner of the company would tell us, we want happy money. He'd say, we want happy money in this business. When we do offer a service, when we perform a task for someone, when we take care of something for someone, we want them to be happy with the work. We want them to be happy. If they're not happy, we don't want their money. We want happy money. And I've used that at our church because here the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. And I'll be very honest with you, we want happy money at Verity Baptist Church. When we take this vision offering, we want the offering to be given by people that were of a willing heart, whose heart stirred him up, and every man had his spirit made them willing. We want it to be something that people purpose in their heart to give because God loveth a cheerful giver. And look, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not being sarcastic, and I'm not looking down on you or being rude when I say this. I'm being genuine in my heart. If you honestly feel like giving towards our vision offering would make you upset or angry or bitter or feel manipulated in any sort of way, we don't want your money. We want happy money. You say, what if you don't meet the goal? I'd rather not meet the goal and make sure that everyone that gave willingly. We're looking for willing hearts. We're looking for people who want to volunteer, for people who want to say, hey, I'm willing to participate. My heart is stirred up. The Lord has worked in my heart, and I want to do this. Because Paul says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Not grudgingly. Not with a bad attitude. And notice this, or of necessity. Now you say, well, I thought we're taking an offering because we have a need. We do have a need. But let that not be the reason you're giving. Don't, if your attitude is, well, I don't want to give this money, but Pastor says we need to. Look, God doesn't need your money. Right. My God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. You say, what are we looking for? We're looking for willing hearts. We're looking for people who volunteer to give, who want to give. But notice, secondly, go back to Exodus 35, if you would. Not only are we looking for willing hearts, we're looking for stirred spirits. We're looking for stirred spirits. Exodus 35, look at verse 21. Exodus 35, 21, the Bible says, and they came, everyone whose heart, notice the words, stirred him up. I love those words. Everyone whose heart stirred him up. And everyone, notice these words, whom his spirit made willing. See, we're looking for willing hearts, but we're also looking for stirred spirits. We're looking for people who want to volunteer, but we're also looking for people who have a vision. For people whose heart is stirred. For people whose spirit is stirred. Go to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 29. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. And right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. We call this our vision offering for years since the first vision offering. The first vision offering we had was when my wife and I started this church in 11 years ago in our living room. And in our living room, we held our very first vision offering, and our goal was to raise $3,000. And that seemed like an impossible task back then, $3,000 to help us do some things. And some of that money was used to purchase our first church van, and some of that money was used to get into our first 800-square-foot building. And back then, we called it our vision offering. And every year, we've had this vision offering. And we take that name from Proverbs 29:18, where the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. See, vision is an exercise of faith. When the Bible says, when we talk about vision, we're not talking about your physical vision, like when you go to the DMV and they have you read the lines of the letters that are different sizes. No, we're talking about what you can see in faith. See, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, a vision is an exercise of faith. A vision is seeing not what is, but what could be. And we've always wanted to have a vision at this church. A church without a vision is a church without a future. And we have a vision for what the Lord can do. And look, I'm here to tell you, back 11 years ago, in a little living room with a handful of people, as I stood up and preached my first vision offering sermon and tried to gather and mobilize and motivate our people to be generous and to raise money. And over the years, as we've done that, the Lord has allowed us to cast a vision, and the Lord has fulfilled that vision. I remember years and years and years and years ago telling different friends and pastors and different individuals, and my wife and I, as we would talk and talking about the fact, you know, years ago we were talking about the fact that one day our church will have a church van and we'll be able to go and pick people up for church. And by God's grace, we have a church van today, and praise God for that. We've had one before that. The one before that, of course, broke down and got older from that first vision offering. And I remember years ago we talked about the fact that one day we'll have an orchestra. And one day, and sitting in an 800 square foot building with 30 people, saying, one day our church is going to, mark my words, by God's grace, one day we're going to have violinists and trumpet players and saxophonists and all these different trumpets and all these different instruments playing, and it's going to be a great thing. And God has given us some great instruments and people with talent to be able to play those different instruments and the flutes and all the beautiful sounds that they make. I remember years ago saying, one day our church will have, this was back when the only kids in our church were my kids. The only kids in our church were our own children. And I stand up and say, one day our church is going to have a homeschool group. And that homeschool group is going to have a regularly scheduled PE class, and we're going to have field trips. And today our church has 75, 80 kids in a homeschool group. Amen. I remember saying back in those days, one day we'll have 12 soul winners out every week knocking doors. One day, back when it was only my wife and I. One day we'll have 12 soul winners. And that seemed like a big dream. And then we got 12 soul winners. I remember standing up and saying, one day we're going to have 70 soul winners. We're going to have 70 soul winners. Like when Jesus had the 70 apostles and he sent them out. One day we'll have 70 soul winners. And then one day we had 70 soul winners. Then I stood up and said, one day we'll have 100 soul winners, 100 soul winners every week. And today we have 100 soul winners that go out every week, praise God, from this church, knocking doors. You say, are you done? No, now we want 120 like the day of Pentecost. See, I can keep coming up with stories. One day we'll have 120 soul winners that will go out like the day of Pentecost every week, preaching the gospel. I'm just here to tell you that vision is an exercise of faith. Vision is an exercise of faith, not seeing what is, but what could be. I wish I could tell you the story, and I won't tell you the stories because I don't want to tell people's personal information, but I wish I could tell you the stories of the scores of people that have came into this church over the years that their marriages were struggling and their parenting was struggling and they weren't saved and they were lost in this world and hopeless and God allowed us to be able to help them and get them saved and get them baptized and get them discipled and help them grow in their Christian life, and now they're raising their children and they've changed their legacy and their family tree has changed for the glory of God. You say, well, isn't that an amazing thing? It is an amazing thing, but I have a vision to do more of it. Amen. To reach more people just like the people sitting here today. Why? Because it's what God has given us to do. And you say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for people that want to catch that vision. Amen. People whose the Holy Spirit will make their hearts willing and stirred and willing to say, I want to get involved in that. I want to do that. I want to give towards that. You see, these people, they not only had a great necessity for the offering, but they gave willingly to this offering. They had a willing heart. Their hearts stirred them up. They were willing-hearted, the Bible says. They gave a willing offering. They wanted to bring it. They purposed in their hearts to give. And like God said, like the Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me give you the last point this morning. Go back to Exodus 36, if you would. We've been in Exodus 35, but I'd like you to flip over to Exodus 36. See, the story of the first offering is taken over two chapters, Exodus 35 and Exodus 36. First, we saw that they had a great necessity for the offering, and secondly, we saw that they gave willingly to the offering. I want you to notice, thirdly, third principle from this first special offering in the Bible is that they showed extreme generosity in their offering. I want you to notice that this first offering was an amazing offering. Exodus 36 and verse 3, notice what the Bible says. And they received of Moses all the offering, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings, notice, every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, notice verse 5, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people, notice the generosity, the people taking the offering, they go to Moses and they said, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people, notice this, so the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. Notice that these people were extremely generous. Not only was there a necessity, not only was there a willingness, but there was a generosity. In fact, they gave so much that Moses had to stop them. Now, we're not going to do that next week, all right? Some of you are like, I'm going to sit all the way in the back, and maybe by the time the offering plate comes to me, pastor will say, oh, we have enough. Obviously, these people were bringing physical items. They were bringing the curtains. They were bringing the gold. They were bringing the wood. They were bringing the things needed to physically build a building. And if we didn't live in you know, the times that we live today, there was a day when churches could just grab a piece of, buy a piece of land and get all the men out there and build a building. And we could do that, but, you know, not in this day and age and not with the way the county feels about us. They were physically bringing things needed, and Moses got to the point where he said, look, you guys, you brought too much. The stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. But what we see here is that these people were extremely generous. They showed extreme generosity. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, in verse 35, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, they showed extreme generosity. And here's, and I'll be honest with you, what we are asking you, if the Lord stirs your heart, is to be generous. We've talked about it over the last several weeks. We're asking you to stretch yourself, to sacrifice, to maybe do more and give more than you normally do. Go to Philippians, if you would, Philippians chapter 4, the New Testament. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 19. If you have Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. You say, what is the point of this sermon? What is the goal of the sermon? Here's the goal. That you would take the next week and pray and prepare and ask God and look at your finances and ask yourself and ask the Lord to help you. What could we give? How could we participate? How could we be generous? How could we stretch ourselves and sacrifice to give? And we're asking you to stretch yourself. Like I said earlier, this year I asked our church family and those who support our church to raise $100,000. Will we do that? I don't know. I know this. It'll only happen if we stretch ourselves. Now, every year at the Vision Offering, and I always say this, and I'll say it again. I'll give all my disclaimers. Every year, since the very first year, I was advised to do this by a pastor, and I took his advice, and I will continue to take it since we've already done it now for 11 years. But every year at the Vision Offering, And I do not recommend people do this. I don't recommend you do this. We do this, but I don't recommend you do this. My wife and I, or I should say I announce what my wife and I will commit to give every year to the Vision Offering. And the reason we do that is not because we're trying to boast or brag or anything like that, because we're not. But it's to let you know that we're not asking you to do anything that we're not willing to do. Now, I want you to understand this. You know, I work for the church, obviously. I'm on the church's salary. We've got three full-time employees around here, and we get paid. But the way this works is you have a salary. You have a set amount that you're paid, and you live off that salary. And, you know, that's what the church has provided for us to be able to serve around here. And we have to budget and pay our bills and do all those things just like you do. I have a wife that stays home, and we have six children. And I'm telling you this, just to tell you, we don't just have money to spare. I mean, to be honest with you, we've had our second vehicle has been broken down for a couple of months, and we haven't fixed it just because we could use the money other places like the Vision Offering. So I want you to know that we're in this with you. I'm not standing up here and saying, well, I don't need you guys to give, and then we're not going to sacrifice or stretch or do anything like that ourselves. I've always been hesitant to announce what we give because I think that I'm probably losing all my rewards in heaven since you're not supposed to tell people what you give, and that's why I don't recommend that you give it. But I think it's important for our church family to know that your pastor and your pastor's wife are behind this. Now, this year, my wife and I have committed to more than double what we gave last year. And we are committing to give this year to the vision offering $2,500 for this year's vision offering. Now, let me just say this. To some of you, that may seem like a lot. And to others of you, that may not seem like much. I understand that. There are people in our church that are struggling, and there are others in our church that are highly blessed of the Lord, and I understand that. The point is not to get you to try to give that much, and the point is definitely not for you to be like, oh, well, if that's all he's giving, then, you know. I can tell you this, that's a stretch for us. That's a sacrifice for us. We could definitely use that money somewhere else, but we believe in what this church is doing. We believe in you. We believe in the vision that God has given us for this church, and we want to stretch ourselves. And all we're asking is that you stretch yourself as well. We're in this with you. We're in the yoke with you. We believe in this with you. We're working towards this with you. We're praying with you in regards to this. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, if I give, then I don't know. My faith, it's weak. And I don't know if I'm going to be okay. And again, we've talked about this. Don't give what you don't have. Don't put it on a credit card. But from what God has given you, stretch yourself. Sacrifice. Over the last couple of weeks, and I don't want to belabor this too long, but we've been looking at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, specifically is what we've been in. And if you remember, Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, I do you to wit of the grace bestowed upon the churches in Macedonia. And he talked about the churches in Macedonia, how in a great trial of affliction, how in deep poverty, he says, they gave to their power and above their power. They stretched. They gave to their ability and above their ability. They stretched themselves to be able to give more and accomplish more and do more than what was really required of them. It's interesting to me because in the book of Philippians, you have one of those churches of Macedonia, the church in Philippi, and this is that church that Paul says, and again, we've taken the time to break it down in other sermons, and I'd encourage you to check those out in our 2 Corinthians series if you weren't here for those. Paul did not even want to bring up the special offering to them. They were so poor, and they were struggling so much, he didn't even want to bring it up to them. But they heard and found out about it, and they said, hey, Paul, we want to give. And he's trying to discourage them from giving. And they said, no, we want to give. We feel it's our duty. We owe a debt of gratitude to what these churches in Jerusalem have done for us, and they chose to give. And in Philippians chapter number 4, Paul gives them a promise. He says there in verse 17, I want you to notice, he says, not because I desire a gift. He's referring to the fact that they've been highly generous. They've been giving towards his ministry and towards these special offerings. He said, you didn't do this because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He's referring to the fact that they brought a special offering. Notice, they gave it to the work of God, but it was unto the Lord. It was a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then Paul looks at these poor people. Paul looks at these struggling people who were so generous with their giving. And he says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The truth is that there's a promise that God gives to giving and to those who are generous, that when you give to your power and above your power, when you extend yourself and stretch yourself, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've learned over the last 11 years of ministry that God has always supplied our needs. But I wish I could tell you the stories. I remember the very first vision offering. Very first vision offering. We're trying to raise $3,000, and it seemed like such a big goal, $3,000. And my wife and I, and we did something. We broke a rule that we shouldn't have. We literally did not have the money, but I was a pastor, so I had to give something. You know, and we committed to give $400. And I remember we wrote the check, $400, and put it in the offering, and literally did not have $400 in the bank. And you know, back then we knew when, you know, obviously we, you know, we knew when the check was going to the bank and all that, and we were like, well, you know, I don't know. We had to give something. And I remember that Monday morning checking our mail and getting a check from our mortgage company with a little letter, and it said, we've overcharged you over the last year. Here is a refund for $400. And this verse came to my mind, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. It's an act of faith. The Lord works in you, and the Lord works among you. And I hope that this week you'll take some time to pray and ask how you can give, how you can stretch, and how you can participate in this year's vision offering. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And we thank you for this generous, generous church. And Lord, we do pray for this vision offering. I don't know whether we'll meet our goal or not. But I know that you're able. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think is what the Bible says. And I also know that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray that you would stir the hearts, that you'd stir the spirits, and that next week we could come like the children of Israel came to this offering. They came and they brought. They came and they brought. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to bring what you have laid upon our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to fulfill this vision that you've given us to reach people with the gospel, to change lives, change marriages, change the legacies of some of these kids growing up in this church. Father, we love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.